Hello, and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the center.
I mean, we've got groundbreaking news here today.
Yeah, this could be.
This is exciting stuff.
We're broadcasting from the Center for the Study of North American Subtorso Augmentation here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, we always joke about the wacky things that academics study, right? But here's something they're trying to study without much success, I might add. The size of American butts.
Yeah.
Now, back in the 50s, a Harvard University study concluded that 18-inch seats would comfortably accommodate the American rump. You know, you go to a sports arena, and there's an 18-inch
seat. I mean, for example, if you go to Fenway Park, they have 12-inch seats.
Yeah.
Because the study had not been done by the world's greatest university.
Exactly.
But now that it has, for the last 40 years, 18 inches has been the standard by which all butts will be measured.
But that 18-inch rule is no longer applicable.
Yeah.
Here's an article from the Washington Post about a ferry boat in Seattle. It says that 18 inches just isn't cutting it anymore. Greg Gagner, a ferry rider, says, "My butt still fits the 18-inch rule, but so many others are so huge, they're crunching us. They're crunching us, Jerry."
Yeah, because if you sit next to someone who's got a 30-inch butt, you're done for.
Well, or worse than that, between people with 30-inch butts.
Right, then you don't exist anymore. I mean, you can't exist
anymore. I remember going to a basketball game.
I remember being on an airplane once.
A few years ago, and somebody had given me tickets. So I go there, and there's a guy sitting in his seat and my seat, too. I mean, he had completely subsumed my seat. And I
what
sheepishly
did you say?
I said, I think it's sitting in everybody's seat.
Woo.
But I think one of the problems is, you know, that people do lie when they fill out these questionnaires.
Yeah, well, they shouldn't do it by questionnaire. I guess people are going to lie. How wide is your butt? Stupid.
Well, the problem is, I think, of the units.
Oh.
Inches is too... I mean, you can't ask somebody to say how many inches wide
across
their butt is. We need another unit of measurement for butt size. We have to name it after someone with a huge butt. Who do you think?
How about Daniel Pinkwater? He's not going to mind, is he? No, I mean, he's proud. He's proud. He's many times he's told us how proud he is of his girth.
Really?
So he could become the standard by which all butts are measured. You're right, absolutely right, because if you say 28 inches... But if it's something that they can relate to, you know, you can picture Daniel Pinkwater in your mind and say, I'm half a Pinkwater.
Oh, so what is it? What would a Pinkwater be then?
A Pinkwater would be whatever he is. We're not going to convert it into inches for you.
Oh no.
No, inches is the wrong unit. So it's a Pinkwater. It's number of Pinkwater. How many Pinkwaters are you?
I think I'm about 0.6.
Yeah, I'm about a third of a Pinkwater. I don't have a butt at all.
And if you want to talk to us about your car, divulge your Pinkwater measure. That number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255.
Wait, does it only apply to butts? Because Dougie's head is two Pinkwaters.
Yeah, we know. That's because his head... Never mind.
It's hard to tell the difference.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Barb. I'm calling from St. Louis.
Can we call you Barbara?
Well, if you think I'm in trouble.
Oh, that's what your mother used to call you when you were bad?
Barbara, come over here.
Mom and the nuns.
The nuns.
It's an interesting thing. I don't know why this happens, but my mother and all my wives have always called me Thomas when I was in big trouble. Well, I wonder why that is. Is that...
And the rest of the time they call you what?
Stupid.
Stupid.
Hey, jerk. But is this a common phenomenon that when you're in trouble?
I think they're establishing formality.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's formality.
Yeah, and when you use the middle name, you know you're in deep doo-doo.
Yeah.
Yeah, Barbara Ann.
Yeah.
Anyway, Barb, what's going on?
I have a 92 Mitsubishi Expo.
So do I.
No kidding.
I have the same car.
Yeah, so he's going to be an expert in this.
Oh, well, great.
I haven't driven mine for a while. But anyway, go ahead.
Run.
It's a stick shift. It's a 5-speed.
It's the 7-passenger version.
Yes.
Whoa.
It's got 122,000 miles.
Oh, it'll go that long, huh?
It's been going great.
That's good to know.
But it's starting to talk back to me when I shift gears.
Yeah.
I can barely get it into third gear, and sometimes it won't go into second unless I pull so hard I'm frightening my passengers.
Mm-hmm.
So I just put it in first, and we all get whiplash, and we proceed. But it's kind of scary, and I don't know if, with that kind of mileage, if I should consider trading it in, or if the dealer can do
trade it in. It's worth about $8. You can't trade it in.
You can't trade it in because you can't buy anything like it anymore.
I know.
If you're sitting still with the car, in other words, if you're stopped at a traffic light and you're in neutral and you step in the clutch, can you shift through all the gears?
Not within the past 3 or 4 months.
How about if the engine's off? Can you shift through the gears?
Sometimes I have to force it.
All right, that's good.
The best answer you could ever have given.
Yeah.
Oh.
That answer just saved you $500.
Oh, more.
Good.
This isn't an all-wheel drive one, is it?
Yes.
Oh, saved you $1,500.
Oh, my God.
Boy, you must have studied for this little quiz. This could have run into so much money.
Yeah, you gave us all the right answers because we were afraid that the problem was inside the transmission.
That's what it smelled like.
But because you can't shift the thing when it's sitting still, it tells us that the problem is in the shift linkage.
Okay.
And I believe this has a cable shift.
And the difference being that the linkage is outside the transmission and the transmission is inside the transmission. And so, when you go inside, it runs into big
moves. So you may have bushings that are worn out, or you may have a cable that's stretched or something, but it's going to be relatively cheap to fix.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, it might still cost hundreds, but it's not going to cost thousands.
That's good, because a new car payment would run me way past that.
Right, and if the news is bad, I'm prepared to give you $200 for the car.
Yeah, just for the spare parts.
Exactly.
But not the shift linkage.
Good luck, Barb.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call.
Okay, see ya.
That was good. That was, man, she was good.
Oh,
quick.
She was very lucky.
And she had the answers.
Yeah.
And they were the right answers.
Yeah, good for her. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
I'm Greg. I live down in Kennesaw, Georgia, which is just north of Atlanta.
Kennesaw, Georgia.
Yes, home of the General from that great train chase.
Yeah, from Kennesaw Mountain.
Yeah, we have that battlefield right over next to us, too.
Yeah, so what's going on?
What I have, guys, is I have a 92 Ford Probe, four-cylinder, with 164,000 miles on it. And when I start this car in the morning, it'll blow some white smoke, and it'll do it when I'm at high RPMs. But that is about the only time it does it.
White smoke, huh?
Yes, white smoke.
High RPM. Stick shift?
Yes.
I would have to say it's probably blue smoke.
Mm.
Looks more like white. It's leaving deposits on the back of my car, too.
Oily deposits?
No, it's just like a white crust.
Like a white crust.
Really? This is very interesting, Greg.
This is fascinating.
How long has it been happening?
A couple years now, actually. We've just named it the smoke bomb, and I just put oil in it a lot.
You do put oil in it?
Yes, yeah. I sure do.
No other fluids are getting low?
No, none of the other fluids get low.
I have to go back to my original contention.
Yeah, and I think he's got to be right.
That
he's got to be right.
It really has a blue tinge that you're not seeing.
Uh-huh.
And especially considering that you told us that you're losing oil.
Uh-huh.
That's a big help.
Yeah, that's the only thing I'm losing. I put about a quart in a week now.
And how many miles is that?
It's a good 300 miles off it, 350, somewhere in there.
I would just keep adding the oil. I mean, I don't think I'd suggest you fix it.
What you need is a ring job, and you're not going to do that.
Expensive thing?
They're very expensive.
Yeah, you are a prime candidate.
The pellets.
For one of the many additives that are on the market. I mean, there are lots of things that you can add to your crankcase.
Uh-huh.
Go down to your local car parts store.
Uh-huh.
And walk up and down the aisles until you find a container that has the word miracle on it. It'll be either miracle pellets, miracle juice, miracle whip, one of those things. And then it'll say in big letters underneath it, stops oil burning fast.
There you go.
Seriously, for a minute. No, never mind.
No, it There is one product. Use the Castrol Cure.
Well, there is one product that we've had pretty good luck with.
Okay.
Oh.
And the stuff is called Restore.
Oh, that's right.
Restore.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the stuff that we've had the best luck with.
And the other thing you might want to do is put Castrol 2050 motor oil in it.
All righty. And what will that do?
That will maybe reduce the oil burning.
Okay, very good.
I just put it in my MG this morning.
Yeah. I put Castrol 1030 in it right now.
Try 2050.
Oh, go thick, man. Think thick.
Yeah. Very good. I spent a lot of time up in your guys' neck of the woods.
Oh, yeah?
Up in your fair city of Cambridge.
No kidding.
My girlfriend just graduated from that great Boston University right down the road from you guys.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
What did your girlfriend major in, Greg?
Geology.
No kidding.
Yeah.
She got a job?
She'll find oil fields.
So she's going to work for Exxon or some such thing, right?
Actually, she's going to do the easy route and go to New Zealand for graduate school.
Oh, excellent.
And you should go with her.
Yeah, I would like to, but I doubt it. She's probably
going to dump you, huh?
Yeah, probably so. You know, that's just how it works.
Yeah, that happens, you know.
Well, at least you got the probe to console you.
There you go.
Thanks for calling, Greg.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, poor guy. His car burns oil and he's getting dumped. But he's got a good outlook.
He does.
Yeah, and he's not going to New Zealand either. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, Bob and Ray.
Yes.
Hey, who's this?
It's Daniel Pinkwater.
Oh, jeez.
I wish to weigh in on the buttock controversy.
Hey, Daniel, how have you been?
Well, just fine. I mean,
how unfortunate that you should call.
Who put you up to this? It just happened.
I was suddenly impelled to dial in because, you know, I attended one of those fancy driving schools.
Oh.
And my instructor, Sterling Moskowitz, told me that the buttocks are one of the triad of vital elements in fancy driving.
Oh,
really?
The hands being one.
The elbow, which you rest on the window, is one. Another one.
Right.
And the spinner knob that you attach to the steering wheel. He told me many drivers are able to operate their car entirely with their buttocks. So you see how important.
Sure. I can almost understand what you said.
Yes, I think I've grasped the essence of it.
Well, I think it's wonderful of you to have given your name, so to speak, to such a worthy cause.
It's an important issue. As I understand it, the Pinkwater is the maximal slant optimal seat measurement.
Well,
it is the dimension for a person of virtue. Huh. I take myself to be.
Yes, of course.
Oh, you think there is a direct correlation between buttocks measurement
and virtue? It's well known, and it's even biblical. I won't get into turning the cheek.
It's well known by whom?
Most people.
Rabbinical scholars, of course. I'm silly of me. I know.
But you know, many cars have seats that are no wider than the seat of my exercise bike, and this is an insult.
Insult is not the word. Now, it's a pain in the butt, let's face it.
Indeed. If you have a suitable and capacious seat and you are yourself rump challenged or deficient, you can always make use of that extra space to tuck in stuff around you, like your dog or a mortadella, you know.
Or a salami sandwich or two.
Spring water. You know?
That's true. You're absolutely right. It will not go to waste.
Now, I've observed, and I've mentioned before on your very program, German cars tend to have broad seats.
Yes.
Now, I think this
that conversation that we had
was
the very impetus for making us believe that the Pinkwater should be the national standard.
You honor me.
International. And in fact, you may have to go to Paris.
Or Berlin.
To get measured.
Because that's where all the international standards are.
Now, we hate to ask an indelicate question, but we have devised this butt measurement standard as the Pinkwater. But
there may be some people who really don't know what you look like.
So we don't
actually, I look a little bit like Marlon Brando, always have.
Really?
Yes.
But if someone were to ask us,
yes,
What is the conversion factor between a pink water and
a yard?
And meters. We'll stick with the...
actually, I think that I'd prefer that this be used not as a measurement in terms of length or width, but as an ideal or philosophical concept.
I see.
So it's like a meter and a half, then.
I would say, yeah. that would suit me fine.
All right,
Daniel.
Thank you, gentlemen.
As always, a pleasure.
Always. Indeed.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, he is nuts.
He can take a joke. All right, look, I hate to do this to you, Tommy, but I need you to think back and try, if you can, to remember last week's puzzle. Remember we were doing this before the puzzle went on vacation?
I remember we used to do this. You'd say, do you remember last week's puzzler?
Yeah, well, I didn't think it.
Puzzler.
We're going to go for some hints. You ready?
Okay.
These are fill in the blank. You ready?
Yeah.
It's been a good 30 years since you last wore a blank.
A dress. That was just a youthful indiscretion. It was just a period I was
No, I wasn't looking for that. The answer was a tie.
Oh, a tie.
Yeah, right. The dress thing, we I don't think we want to let that out of there.
I don't think everyone knew about that.
Did you want to mention that?
I'm sorry I mentioned it. No, I thought you knew.
Try this one.
Okay.
If your goat was pregnant, she'd have a litter of blanks.
Who told you about my goat?
A litter of kids.
Kids, kids.
Kids, yeah, you got it.
Oh.
The puzzler was about three kids and a tied election. And we'll be back with the answer in just a minute. The dress, huh?
Well, she only smokes when she's running, but I'm willing to make a deal. She won't rust buzz, pick up dust, Chip paid her fill. She only drove it on Sundays, and that she swore is true. And she stood up when she drove it, so you know them seats are due. Now, crash, crash, rattle, rattle, bing, bang, here comes another sale. Ain't taking checks, only cash on this hot deal on wheels. She got a 30-second guarantee, whether you like it or not. Once you buy this lemon and you peel her off the lot. Now, come on, Billy, let me sell you a car. Better get her today. She won't be there tomorrow.
And even though Goldilocks wonders who's been messing with her radio's presets whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for the Car Talk podcast and the following message come from BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who specialize in issues such as depression, stress, anxiety, and more. Connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment at your convenience. Get help at your own time and your own pace. Schedule secure video or phone sessions plus chat and text with your therapist. Visit betterhelp.com/cartalk to learn more and get 10% off your first month.
Support for NPR comes from Newman's Own Foundation, working to nourish the common good by donating all profits from Newman's Own food products to charitable organizations that seek to make the world a better place. More information is available at newmansownfoundation.org.
You know Jonathan Van Ness as a fabulous cast member of Netflix's Queer Eye. But as a kid,
I was basically just like a geode-obsessed, stamp-collecting, rock-collecting, obsessed with gymnastics.
Jonathan Van Ness on his transformation and his new book. Next time on It's Been a Minute from NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler, the first puzzler of the season.
Oh!
And I admit it was an easy one. We didn't want to stress.
It sure
was. We didn't want to stress anyone out, especially us.
Yeah.
And here it is. There's a high school election for senior class president, and there are three kids running, Tom, Tad, and Tim. As luck would have it, they each get exactly the same number of votes. One. There's a lot of apathy in that particular school, I guess. Anyway, the principal calls Tom, Tad, and Tim into his office and says, look, guys, we could have another election, but there's a pretty good chance that the count's going to come out exactly the same. So let's just throw each of your names into a hat, and I'll pull one out, and that'll be the winner, okay? Well, they all agree.
Sure.
So he takes a clean sheet of, you know, plain white paper, 8.5 by 11, and he folds it into thirds. And then, like teachers often do, holding the paper on the sharp edge of his desk, he tears the paper so that three pieces are exactly, or pretty much exactly, the same size. He hands each kid a piece and says, write your name here. All right, put an X if you don't.
You put an X, you put a Y. What's a Y?
And just to make sure it's on the up and up, he says, guys, you can blindfold me, and I'm going to hold the hat. We're going to put the three names in the hat, and I'm going to hold the hat above my head, and I'm going to reach in and pull out the winner's name.
Uh-huh.
Now, the principal wants Tad to win because the other two kids are knuckleheads, and he thinks if either one of these kids becomes president, the school is going down, and I'm going to lose my job. So the question is, how does the principal fix it so Tad wins?
Shh. Yeah.
Well, I said it was pretty easy, but I'm sure that it's just, you know, must have...
Yeah. Most people had the answer before you even asked the question.
Well, it's because you're astute and you obviously...
A stupid what?
You were obviously above average intellect.
Yeah, okay.
And lucky. Well, when the principal, in order to rig it, what the principal did simply is he tore the sheet into three exactly the same size pieces, but he gave the middle piece to Tad.
Of course.
And it had two factory edges and two rough edges.
I'm going to try it right now and see if that really works.
And of course. And the other pieces, which came from not the middle but the top and the bottom, had three factory edges and one torn edge.
I'm just wondering if you can really tell.
Of course you can.
Oh, of course you can.
So when he reached in and felt the piece with the two long sides that were rough.
Oh, was that your paycheck I just got?
He knew that that was the one that had Tad's name on it. And Tad won the election.
Yippee!
So anyway, who's our winner this week?
Well, the winner this week is Doug Hilborn from Yellowstone Park, Wyoming.
No
Get
kidding.
Out.
Wow.
This guy lives in a park.
What is he, a moose?
Well, Doug Hilborn of Yellowstone Park, Wyoming, for having your answer selected at random from all the correct answers that we got, you're going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division. And with that gift certificate, you can get our collection of car talk lore called Once Upon a Car Fire, The Greatest Stories Ever Told.
Now, this is a collection of stories we've told on the air right here on National Public Radio, believe it or not. And if these stories were on NPR, you know that means what?
Yeah, we were using them to kill time so we could come up with an answer.
Right. But they're still good stories. Anyway, congratulations, Derek. You can get your copy of Once Upon a Car Fire at the Shameless Commerce Division of CarTalk.com.
You lucky guy.
And if you didn't win this week, don't worry. Your chances will be just as lousy next week. In the meantime, give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Linda from Stevens Point, Wisconsin. And
where are you from?
Stevens Point, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Yeah. What's up, Linda?
Well, I have a puzzle that I'd like you to help me solve. It's a mystery that's turned out to be, I kind of get my feelings hurt when I tell friends what happened because they don't believe it, and especially my husband. And I'd like you to tell me, just if you can solve it, I guess. What happened is about 5 years ago, I had to go to Boston. My brother lives there, and I was driving home, and I had a very short time, so I drove straight through, which I don't recommend because it's a 23-hour drive. But I was leaving Boston on a very hot, sultry day and had the air conditioner full force in my 1984 Chevrolet Caprice station wagon. Had 123,000 miles on it at the time. Mm. And I stopped at the first service exit on Highway 90, and sure enough, my radiator was boiling over.
Uh-huh.
And so we cooled it down, and a mechanic put in some more coolant, and I took off down the road. But because I had 1,200 more miles ahead of me, at least, I decided I'd better stop and check it again before the service stations closed down. So I stopped at the next service exit, and sure enough, the radiator was boiling over again. And this young gentleman said, "Ah, I know what's wrong with your car. I have one just like it. Your radiator cap has been put on backwards."
Backwards?
Backwards. So we sat there, cooled off the car. He put in some more coolant. He did whatever he said with that cap, and I drove home. I drove home through the night, through Cleveland, through Chicago. I didn't have any problems with that car. Eventually, I did have to replace the radiator.
You got us, kid.
Really? My husband said there's no way this could have made any difference.
Well, I mean, you're sure you remember what he said, huh?
I'm positive. I wouldn't forget it.
Because you can't put it on backwards. I mean, there is no backwards.
Oh, that's what everybody says. I don't know. All I can tell you is this mystery man fixed my radiator, and I drove home with it that day, a long way. That really asked a lot of it.
Uh-huh.
Backwards. And now, what could he have said instead of backwards? I mean, one thing that could have happened is he might have just loosened the radiator cap. Because if you have the radiator cap on, you build up pressure.
Wait a
obviously.
Minute. I should warn our listeners. This may be an unencumbered by the thought process answer.
No. This is standard cooling system knowledge that everyone knows. That there are times.
We'll see about that.
There are times if you have a hole in your radiator that happens to be in the right place.
Okay.
Then, if you put on the cap and build up pressure, that pressure will cause the thing to leak. Whereas if you leave the radiator cap basically off, you will not build up pressure, and if the leak is above the level of the coolant, then you won't lose anything, and you can go forever.
Well, the leak always winds up above the level of the coolant.
Sooner or later, it does. But if you have the cap on, you'll just keep boiling stuff away, spewing it all over the place. Whereas if you don't worry,
so let me get this right. Your
I've used this technique 100 times. I mean, come on.
Your hypothesis is that Linda had a pinhole leak near the top of her radiator.
Near the top of the top can. Exactly.
I see. And leaving the cap loose, i.e. putting it on backwards.
Backwards, yeah.
That enabled her to drive back home to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Without overheating. Now, I suspect what really happened, and the reason you had to have the radiator replaced, is that it was plugged up and not leaking. That true, Linda?
Yes, it was. It was plugged up.
It was plugged up. The reason it overheated early in the trip is the sun was out. It was hot.
Uh-huh.
And as you continued to drive, you did two things. You drove into the night, where the air is cooler, and that helped the situation, ameliorated the situation.
Wait a minute, if she drove for 23 hours, where was she? Up in the North Pole? It was dark for 23 hours?
No,
but she the other thing she did, without realizing it perhaps, is drove more slowly.
I don't think so. No, I didn't drive slowly. On Highway 90, no, I don't, no.
She didn't care.
I wanted to get home.
Why?
Well, because I had to go to work the next day.
She wanted to get away from Boston.
No.
All right, then what happened? You said
you had a stuck
thermostat.
No. I think the radiator cap was on backwards.
I love you. I just want to know if you can help me solve this.
No, the thermostat was stuck, and by luck, when you went into that,
come on! You're going to ask us to believe
it broke. It broke in the full open position.
But this kid, this 17-year-old kid who worked on—he couldn't even get a job on a real gas station. He had to be on I-90.
And doesn't know that you can't put a radiator cap on backwards.
You expect us to believe that this kid did some kind of magic? That
he did nothing.
A coincidence.
He did nothing.
All right. The real problem is that Linda can't explain this little phenomenon to people. We've got to help her to explain it.
Yes, that's it.
She doesn't want to know what the hell happened. She just wants to know, what can she tell people that's credible?
It's like a black hole in my past. Well, I can't talk about it.
First of all, the cap could not have been put on backwards. The only other thing I can imagine, that it was never on completely. And that you were overheating because it wasn't fully on. And then when he did his reversal, so to speak, he in fact put it on properly and stopped the thing from boiling over. That's the answer. As lame as it is, I'm sticking with it. No, I think that's what it is. This guy put it on correctly. He seated it. He turned it all the way until the little arrow on the cap pointed towards the little overflow tube. And if you don't do that, the cap won't seat.
Maybe backwards. Oh, you might have something. Maybe
what he meant by backwards was not seated. He may be a little backwards.
Did he seem a little backwards?
No, he seemed very nice, and he helped me so much.
He certainly did. He allowed you to get home on time.
I think he seated the cap where previous mechanics that had checked your prior to your trip that had checked your level didn't turn the cap far enough and didn't allow it to seat, and thus when pressure began to build up, it boiled over into the overflow, and I think that's it. It only took us an hour to get there, but
yeah,
we're there, Linda.
That's what backwards means. I kept thinking of backwards as backwards rotation, but the arrow might have been pointing the wrong way. He thought magically the arrow should be pointing toward the back of the car, and it was pointing toward the...
Well, the arrow...
He had personal experience. He said he had the same car.
The arrow should point north.
Which way was... okay.
Which way was your car for you? See you, Linda.
Thank you.
That's the explanation. Did you write it down?
Woo-hoo! I've got it.
All right.
Thank you so much. Okay, have a good day.
Bye.
Guys.
Have
bye
a good
bye.
Day yourself.
Now, it shouldn't have taken us that long to get there.
No, no, it does take a while. I mean, things, you have to go through a process.
The thought process.
What?
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Andy from Middletown, Connecticut.
Hi, Andy.
Middletown.
Yeah. My brother has made many a trip to Middletown, Connecticut.
Could it have anything to do with Wesleyan University in Middletown, Connecticut?
Yes, it could have something to do with that.
I see. Well, I could be on the faculty there, so...
I'll be careful.
All right.
I have nothing bad to say about Wesleyan University.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
That's good.
What do you teach, though?
Classical studies. Greek and Latin, ancient history, mythology, stuff like that.
Well, you may have had my son in a couple of classes because he majored in philosophy.
I might have.
You'd remember him because he was a loud snorer.
Oh, he's the guy with the stuffed animals in
That's
the background.
Him.
Yeah, okay, got it.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, where were we?
Here's the situation.
Yeah.
I learned long ago that it is safer to drive with your car doors locked on the highway because if you're in an accident, especially at high speed, you're safer in the car than being tossed from it. So I lock the doors.
Mm-hmm.
My kids think, my daughters think, well, this is just Dad being weird, so what else is new? My wife, however, has much stronger objections and says this is actually unsafe because if we do, God forbid, get in an accident and the electronic locks are all down, then it would make it much more difficult for emergency personnel to get to us or for us to get out. And so there's the dilemma that I'm presenting to you guys, and we have, of course, agreed to abide by your decision.
You have?
Have you?
There's no yeah. money that's been wagered on this,
no.
the outcome of this.
No, no money.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Well, you know.
It is safer to be in the car than to be thrown out of it.
Yeah.
But the seatbelt does usually take care of that, and lots of car manufacturers, you may have noticed, lock the doors automatically for you.
Right.
You know, so you get in and you either put the thing in drive, the doors lock, or you get to some certain speed, 16 miles an hour or whatever, and the doors lock. And I think for a long time when they began doing this, and I'm trying to think, I think Chrysler maybe was the first company that I noticed that did it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a pain in the butt, actually, especially considering that the doors, and some cars still have this problem, don't unlock when you stop the car. So you put the thing in park, and either you can't open your door, or if you can, the passengers can't open their door.
Exactly.
Or you get out to get something out of the back seat, and that door's locked because you opened your door, but you didn't unlock the other doors because they were locked automatically when the thing was put in drive and exceeded 16 miles an hour. So it is a little bit of a pain, and I'm not sure that it helps any. I think research has proven that, in fact, the doors are more likely to pop open if they're unlocked.
Yeah, I think I probably learned this certainly before airbags, and probably even well before the kind of widespread use of seatbelts. So
you have a four-door car?
Well, we have two cars. We have an old Lexus, 10-year-old, and a Mazda MPV, you know, with the sliding doors on the sides.
Yeah. Well, I would lock half of them.
But there are standards that all manufacturers have to agree to insofar as what kind of force that the door can take before it pops open.
Yeah.
It may be, and I don't know this for sure, that some manufacturers have determined that their cars do better with the doors locked. I don't know that.
Sure.
Not to mention the fact that if your doors are locked, it also prevents intruders when you're stopped in city traffic. And, you know, that may be the more important issue, that if you stopped at a light, that someone doesn't reach in and snatch your pocketbook, which is on the seat next to you.
I rarely carry my pocketbook on the seat next to me.
or your briefcase with all those important papers in there that you have to grade.
Yeah.
You know, so it may be, and I know it might not be a concern in Middletown, Connecticut, but it certainly is a concern in some of our urban areas.
Sure.
That you don't want somebody getting into your car when they're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Personally, I think that it should be something that you should decide as the driver. I hate cars, quite honestly, that lock themselves. I also don't like cars who decide when I have the intermittent wipers on that I'm not smart enough to figure out when they should be on and when they shouldn't be. They have an override on the intermittent setting. Do you know that? A lot of cars do?
Yeah.
You set it for one swipe every so many seconds or whatever, and it says, no, you're too stupid to figure this out. I'm going to swipe the window when I think I should, because this cheap 11-cent computer I put in here is smarter than the guy behind the wheel and knows better when the window should be wiped. So they're going a little bit overboard with things.
Well, because they can do it.
Because they can do it, right.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, so you don't have to lock your doors if you don't want to.
I don't have doors on my car.
Right.
I certainly don't have windows, and I don't have locks.
Would you have the plastic mesh like in the demolition derby?
Not even.
Oh, I wish.
Not even. If you saw his car, you'd be amazed. Well, Andy, do with this information what you please.
Well, thanks for your advice, I guess. Thanks very much. Love the show.
Take care.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. All right, it's time to take a short break.
Right. My brother's going to meditate until a new puzzle just sort of comes to him, you know?
Or until I keel over and bump my head on the microphone. We'll be back in a minute.
He walked out of his office one day, put on his cap, tucked it just the right way, told his secretary he was going downtown, going to take a little spin around. He said he couldn't take it anymore. He turned himself into a big four-door. His kids were crawling up on his back. He turned himself into a black pontiac. I said, hey!
And even though Darwinians consider adding a survival of the dimmest corollary whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Kay Buxbaum in support of the David Gilkey and Zabiula Tamana Memorial Fund, established to strengthen NPR's commitment to training and protecting journalists in high-risk environments.
Fall movies are about to heat up, and Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR has you covered. We'll tell you whether some of the big films on the way are as good as you're hoping they are, and we'll help build a list of gems you can uncover for yourself. Start your Oscars prep early with Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. Listen and subscribe now.
Ha! Will you stop waking me up like that?
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler, you know, and
it's good to be back into the swing.
Isn't it?
So many months, you said the puzzler's on vacation. It was so depressing. Now
the puzzler was so happy though, being on vacation.
He was. So were you.
Well, I'm torn this week because I have a lot of potentially lousy puzzles I could use.
Yeah.
And you may have noticed that I'm working up to the good ones.
I didn't actually notice that trend yet.
Because it's hard to have a trend when you only have what? One puzzler under your belt.
Yeah, okay.
Here it is. The other night I had a gastrointestinal attack in the middle of the night.
Really?
Well, it may have had something to do with that double anchovy pepperoni pizza I had at 11 o'clock.
Does happen.
Or the cheesecake I ate out of the freezer an hour later. But in the middle of the night I wake up moaning and groaning, clutching my stomach, and I find myself at the medicine chest looking for some medicinal relief. And I pull out the bottle of the stuff, which I recognize by its shape and color. And lo and behold, I can't read the infinitesimally small print on the bottle.
Yeah.
So I go clutching my stomach. I make my way to the bedroom and find my glasses on the dresser. And I come back and I put them on. And even with my glasses,
you can't read it.
I still can't read it. The print is just too small, and I'm in agony now.
You're ready to just swizzle it down. You're going to swizzle it down.
I'm moaning and groaning, and I don't want to take the wrong dose because too little is as bad as too much.
Yeah.
No, it isn't.
No.
And to make matters even worse, as I'm bent over in pain, my glasses fall off my head, and they break in half.
Oh.
I say, jeez, that's it. I'm going to just die right here
on the bathroom floor.
Unless I'm fortunate enough that my moaning wakes up another member of the household.
I hope.
And yet,
and all you could hear was three people yelling, shut up out there.
That's about it.
Yeah, that's about it, yeah.
And yet a minute later,
yeah,
I was tucked in bed, tucked under the covers, having taken the correct dosage.
Yeah.
How did I do it?
Nobody woke up to help you.
Nobody. All you have is what you have. You have all the facts. Now, if you think you know the answer, write that answer on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge,
Our Fair City,
Matt 02238, or of course you can email your answer from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK, that's 888-2-2782-55. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Ann.
Where are you calling from, Ann?
I'm calling from Florence, Alabama.
Florence, Alabama.
You might be more familiar with Florence, Italy, eh?
I am.
Maybe, a little bit.
Wait, is it Ann with an E on the end or not?
No, it's not the royal Ann. It's just the regular old Southern Ann.
Southern Ann has no E.
You know, it's the second name. All of us Southern girls have two names, and it's, you know, we go by Betty Sue or...
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Leslie Ann.
All those.
So right. What's your other name?
Oh, well, we won't talk about that. I go by the second
Come
name.
Come on. How are we going to be friends here if you're not going to lie to us? We're going to start all our relationship with a lie.
I'm afraid you'll accuse me of driving a Camaro or something.
Is it Donna Ann?
No, it's Patsy.
Patsy.
Or either that or I could own a beauty shop, right?
Patsy Ann.
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
I kind of like it.
Yeah, I do too. I think you should use it.
It makes all the difference now. Now I can visualize you.
You want to visualize the car now?
What kind is it?
It's a Firenza, an Oldsmobile Firenza. It's that little one they made for a little while.
Yeah, it means Florence.
It does. That's interesting. You live in Florence. That's the Italian word for Florence, Firenze.
Is it?
Actually, it's Firenze.
It's with an E at the end, but it's close enough.
They threatened to sue General Motors for using the name inappropriately.
Is
so
that
they had to
why
change
they
it.
Quit making them?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's an 87.
Okay, 87 Firenze.
Okay, all I want to do is get the car cleaned up. About once every year, I at least try to get my car detailed.
My wife does that once a year when they go in there and chisel off the bananas that have been welded to the floor for the last 7 months.
Exactly.
That's what she defines as detailing.
But there's a problem. There's a major problem.
What's that?
You can't get it detailed if you're constantly dirting it.
Oh.
There's some kind of black gummy substance that's blowing out of the ventilating system. Onto the floor, as, you know, the heat would on your feet, and also out of the vents that, you know, blow into your face there.
Really?
The whole ventilation system.
The panel vents, and also into the, for the defroster?
Yeah, and I can't wear anything but black shoes now, you see.
If you were to touch this stuff, would it almost feel like a powder, but a little rubbery?
No, I tell you what it's like. It looks like a fiber. It's almost got a little glitter to it. But then when you take it and rub it between your fingers, it turns to almost a wax, a real gummy wax. And you can't tell that there's any fiber in it at all. I can't make out what the stuff is.
Wow.
And neither can any of the people here in Florence.
Sure. Gee, well, you may have to send a sample to our laboratory so we can have Murky do his research. He hasn't done anything for 2 years.
Yeah.
What I think it is.
Yeah, I think I know what it is, too.
It's the blower motor disintegrating.
Oh.
The blower motor.
Yes. That is the electric motor that turns the fan that blows the heat into your car. I think the motor itself is disintegrating, and pieces of it are winding up getting blown into the passenger compartment.
I think you're crazy.
I think I'm right.
Wouldn't that be more solid pieces rather than this?
No, I don't. It depends on what it is. But
I don't like it. I don't like it.
I love it.
Can I tell you what somebody else suggested it might be?
Yeah.
I took it to a local guy. I'm new to this area, so I picked him out of the Yellow Pages, you know. And he looks at it, and he tells me, no, I don't know what it is, but it's going to cost you $800 to $1,000 to fix it.
He doesn't know what it is, but it's going to...
But he's yeah. So he suggests...
I'd go with him. Yeah. I like it.
I don't know what it is, but it's going to cost you $1,000 to fix it.
Exactly.
If that's what it is.
And then he sends me to the dealership. So I take it to the dealership, and I take it back to the detail shop, and they start calling their mechanics up there. And I get the first mechanic, and he looks at it, and he rubs it between his fingers, and he says, I don't know what it is. I've never seen anything like this. So they call over another mechanic, and he rubs it between his fingers, and he says, I don't know what this is. I've never seen anything like this. Hmm. I've been in the business 20 years. Meanwhile, the first mechanic goes off. He comes back with an estimate to clean it up because he's interested in detailing my car.
Yeah.
So he gives me an estimate of taking the complete dashboard out, cleaning out the vents, and putting all the stuff back together and everything for $400. Okay.
Mm.
Meanwhile, they're still calling in mechanics.
Yeah.
They call in. So after about the fourth mechanic shows, well, actually, I'm not sure he was a mechanic. He was real, real clean. They drove him over in a car. He didn't even have to drive himself.
He may have been Mr. Mechanic. Dr. Mechanic.
They were bowing as he came up.
Yeah.
And he looked at it, and he says, oh, it's the evaporator core.
Yeah.
And it's coming apart, and it's blowing out through the vents. And they said, how's your air conditioning work? It's not going to work. I said, well. So I turned the air conditioning on. It works fine. So everything seems to work fine.
Yeah.
I just got this stuff blowing out.
Well, he may be right. It's better than that hair-brain thing I came up with.
Of course. He gave me an estimate to fix it. You know how much it was?
Oh, I didn't want $1,000.
$963.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
So,
well,
I
have to say that I have never heard of an evaporator deteriorating like this.
Nor have I.
Here's my theory. As you know, the heat in the air conditioning stuff underneath there, under the dashboard, go in various places. The heat can either come out the floor or out through the dashboard or up through the defroster. And the way it goes in various directions is there are doors down there opening and closing. Here's my theory.
I want you to sit down for this, Patrick.
My brother is going to love this theory. He's going to love it. He's going to say, jeez, why didn't I think of that? I think that in order to make those doors seal tightly, they have around all of them this stuff right here.
Yes, it's like a foam gasket.
Like a foam. You ever buy stuff in electronic stuff and it's packed in this soft, foamy stuff?
Mm-hmm.
That's the stuff that's deteriorating. And that's the stuff that's turning to dust. And that's the stuff that when you roll it between your fingers, it gets waxy. That's what it is, and which means that when they go down there to open up these little passageways, like the detailing guy wants to do, he's going to find all of these little sealers all falling apart.
Silence on my end.
Well, yeah, mine too. I'm wondering what would cause them to do that.
Oh, age.
Would it cause it to kind of do it all at one time? Because it's just like a start and now it's just pouring out, you know, everything.
Sure. Well, I mean, as soon as it happens to all of the stuff.
See, I don't like any of the answers, to be perfectly honest. But, again,
I've never seen anything like this before.
No, never. I mean, I've never heard of an evaporator deteriorating the way this. Although this guy that came in on the limo. I mean, he must have been some guy.
Were they kissing his ring and all that stuff?
They were bowing and backing up from him and saying,
yeah, hey,
here comes John now.
Yeah.
Here, John will know.
Yeah, and John, he just came right out with it. Uh-huh, he says.
I would go back to the first guy.
You said it doesn't know what it is, but it's going to cost $1,000.
Yeah, I think I'd have him do it. Well, he was honest, at least. None of these guys knows what it is. And by authoritatively saying to you, it's going to be $1,000, they've covered all the bases. No matter what it is, for $1,000, they're going to fix it. I would still go at it in a piecemeal fashion. I would take apart the easiest stuff first and see if that yields an answer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's easiest to take out the blower motor, and it's easiest then to look around in there, maybe try to vacuum some of the stuff out, and maybe trying to see where it's coming from once you've gotten to that point.
Okay.
If it turns out that my brother is right.
God forbid.
It would be an amazing thing.
It really would. And I have to say that in this case, since no one has any idea, there's a very high probability that I'm right. And they will know this when they pull out the blower motor. They'll probably see all of these little sealers, and they'll say, my God, he was right.
Well, Patsy Ann, good luck.
Okay, I appreciate it, guys.
Bye-bye.
Hi. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Alan from Concord.
Concord what?
Concord, Massachusetts.
Is that with two L's and an E, or one L and an A, or what?
I'm guessing A-L-A-N.
Yeah, anal spelled sideways.
Yeah.
Okay.
From Concord, Mass?
Right around the corner from you.
I've heard of it. I've been there.
So what's shaking, man?
Well, I'll tell you. I've been stumped for a long time, and I finally got desperate enough to call you guys.
That's desperate.
My car is running fine. But sometimes, and only sometimes, when I'm walking or driving by a car, I see these patterns of dots or diamonds, and it's usually on the rear window.
Oh, man, you're not going to ask us how that happens, are you?
I can't. I've been.
Oh, and it's worse if you're wearing sunglasses.
Well, yeah, I noticed. Yeah. I mean, I bought a new pair of polarized sunglasses.
Oh man.
It's the best.
No, yeah. We're going to need help from who's our resident physicist these days? Is Niels Bohr still on the staff?
Niels Bohr is still on the staff.
He was a great Dane, wasn't he?
He was. Yeah. I too have seen those, and like many things that I see like that, I say, "What in the heck is that?"
Well, I know. Yeah. I mean, I don't know the answer, and I'm not even going to attempt to give the answer. But it does have to do with the fact
refraction. We'll use the word refraction.
Refraction, and there's plastic between the two pieces of glass.
Yeah, and I think we're safe in using the word refraction. And if you were dumb enough, you'd say, "Oh, refraction. Thanks very much. I'm glad I called.
And
you guys are really smart."
That you needn't really know much more about, Alan. I mean, for example, where does all that water that goes over Niagara Falls come from? You ever pondered that?
It can't possibly. I mean, there can't be that much water.
And you don't have to know the answer. Not knowing the answer doesn't keep Niagara Falls from working.
But, like, how do those little dots know how to stay so evenly spaced?
Yeah. Mm. Well, it's amazing, isn't it?
I don't know, but polarized glasses are definitely, they throw those things out. You got to get some wicked headaches.
Yeah, but it does bring up the issue of there are so many things that we don't understand.
You know what? This will appear on the site, your question.
We'll put you right on the homepage. Alan wants to know.
Wow.
Alan wants to know.
This is big.
And we could get the entire internet community working on this because there are some, believe it or not, intelligent people who also visit our website at cartalk.com.
And know a lot more answers than do we.
Wow. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to put a lot of questions up. I hope that you don't mind if I use your name over and over again. Because I'm going to put up every week a question that I have.
Alan wants to know.
Alan wants to know.
So we'll be in touch.
This is cool.
And Alan, we don't know.
So I'm not going to get back on Stump the Chumps.
No chance of that either.
Well, you can get back on Stump the Chumps and find out if we did know. And if we did know and we said we didn't know, then we would lose.
Is this matter and antimatter?
Remember this. Refraction.
Refraction.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
See you, Alan.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks for calling.
You bet.
Bye-bye. Happened again. You have squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Risman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Santorini, stuffed zucchini, clam linguine, fettuccine, cheese panini, cocktail weenie, dry martini, luncheoncini, is John Bugsy Lawler. A little poetic license there. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our staff bicycle tester is Maya Sertz. Our loss prevention associate is Natasha DeMerchandise. Our staff urologist is Pete Shadil. Our repo agent is Carmine Now. Our cruise activity planner is Eaton Doolittle. Our practical joke evaluator is Odessa Goodwin. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the pigeons looking for someone else's Wi-Fi signal in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click & Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember, don't drive like my brother.
That's what I said. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1939, subscribe to our weekly podcast, and check out our agita-inducing clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Now, also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got a car that's long in the grill? The Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to your favorite NPR station. It's the good deed you've been looking for to help justify that new Lexus. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though NPR staff has passed through the stages of denial, anger, depression, and acceptance, then go back to denial again whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.